Well, good morning again to each one of you, and a welcome. For those of you who are visitors, sometimes we change things up a little bit. This morning is going to be one of those times. Normally, the first thing we do is go to Scripture. This morning, I'm going to go to a story, and I'm going to read a story to you. I was going to have the children come up, but I think we'll just leave the children where they're at, because this story is not just for the children, but it's for us as adults this morning, too. The book that I have this morning is by Max Lucado, and the story is titled The Song of the King. And in this story, there's a king, there's a prince, and there's three knights. So one day the three knights were sitting at a table, and they were listening to the prince as the prince spoke. And this is what the prince said. He said that my father, the king, will give the hand of my sister to the first of you who can prove himself worthy. The prince paused to let the men take in the news. He looked at their faces, each weathered from miles and scarred from battles. The three had much in common. They were the strongest warriors in the kingdom. They each wanted to marry the daughter of the king. The king had promised each a chance, a test to see which was worthy of his daughter. And now the time for the test had arrived. The test is a journey, the prince explained. A journey to the king's castle by way of the hemlock forest. The forest? One knight quickly inquired. The forest, answered the prince. There was silence as the knights thought about the words. Each felt a stab of fear. They knew the danger of hemlock, a dark and deadly place. Parts of it were so thick with trees that the sunlight never found the floor. It was the home of the Hopknots, small, sly creatures with yellow eyes. Hopknots were not strong, but they were clever, and they were many. Some believe the Hopknots were lost travelers changed by the darkness, but no one really knew for sure. Will we travel alone? Carlyle spoke, a strange question to come from the strongest of three knights. His fierce sword was known throughout the kingdom, but even this steely soldier knew better than to travel hemlock alone. You may each choose one person to travel with you, but the forest is dark. The trees make the sky black. How will we find the castle? This time, it was Elon who spoke. He was not as strong as Carlyle, but he was much quicker. He was famous for his speed. Elon left trails of confused enemies. He had escaped them by ducking into trees or scampering over walls. But quickness is worthless if you have no direction. So Elon asked, "How can we find the way?" The prince nodded, reached into his sack, and pulled out an ivory flute. "There are only two of these," he explained, "this one and another in the possession of the king." He put the instrument to his lips and played a soft, sweet song. Never had the knights heard such soothing music. "My father's flute plays the same song. His flute will guide you to the castle." "How is that?" Elon asked. "Three times a day, the king will play from the castle wall. Early in the morning, at noon, and again in the evening. Listen for him. Follow his song and you will find the castle." "There's only one other flute like this one?" "Only one. And you and your father play the same music?" "Yes." This time it was Cassadon who was asking. Cassadon was known for his alertness. He saw what others missed. He knew the home of the traveler by the dirt on his boot. He knew the truth of a story by the eyes of the teller. He could tell the size of a marching army by the number of birds scattered in flight. Carlyle and Elon wondered why he asked about the flute. It wouldn't be very long before they found out. "Consider the danger and choose your companion carefully," the prince cautioned. And so they did. The next morning, the three knights mounted their horses and entered Hemlock. Beside each rode the chosen companion. For the people in the king's castle, the days of waiting passed slowly. All knew of the test, and all wondered which knight would win the princess. Three times a day, the king sent his song soaring into the trees of Hemlock. And three times a day, the people stopped their work to listen. After many days and countless songs, a watchman spotted two figures stumbling out of the forest. No one could tell who they were. They were too far from the castle. The men had no horses, no weapons, and no armor. "Hurry," the king commanded his guards. "Bring them in. Give them medical treatment and food. But don't tell anyone who they are. Dress the knight as a prince, and we will see their faces tonight at the banquet." He then dismissed the crowds and told them to prepare for the feast. That evening, a joyful spirit filled the banquet hall. At every table, the people tried to guess which knight had survived the Hemlock Forest. Finally, the moment came to present the winner. At the king's signal, the people became quiet, and he began to play the flute. Once again, the ivory instrument sang. The people turned to see who would enter. Many thought it would be Carlisle, the strongest. Others felt it would be Elan, the swiftest. But it was neither. The knight who survived the journey was Cassadon, the wisest. He strode quickly across the floor, following the sound of the flute one final time, and bowed before the king. "Tell us of your journey," he was instructed. The people leaned forward to listen. "The Hope Knots were crafty," Cassadon began. "They attacked, but we fought back. They took our horses, but we continued. What nearly destroyed us, though, was something far worse." "What was that?" asked the prince. "Princess, they imitated."
"They imitated?"
"Yes, my king, they imitated. Each time the song of your flute would enter the forest, 100 flutes would begin to play. All around us we heard music, songs from every direction. I don't know what became of Carlisle and Elan," he continued, "but I know strength and speed will not help one hear the right flute." The king asked the question that was on everyone's lips. "Then how did you hear my song?" "I chose the right companion," he answered, as he motioned for his fellow traveler to enter. The people gasped. It was the prince. In his hand, he carried the flute. "I knew there was only one who could play the song as you do," Cassadon explained, "so I asked him to travel with me. As we journeyed, he played. I learned your song so well that though 1,000 flutes tried to hide your music, I could still hear you. I knew your song and followed it." I'd like for you this morning to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I've titled my message this morning, Truth. And I'll be very honest with you, I struggle with talking about what I'm going to say just for the next minute or so, because we're all so tired of hearing about chaos, aren't we? We love to have things back to normal. We love to hear that everything is good again. We love to hear that the riots have stopped. But if we really think it through, there's so much chaos right now. What really got me to thinking about this message this morning was I had three different people come to me in the last 2 weeks. And they said, "Everything is so noisy. There's so much things happening in the background. Have you thought about it? Everything is really noisy right now. Do you think there's something that's a lot deeper when it comes to the spiritual realm and all the noise that's happening?" I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. This is the worst that I've seen. Some of you are older. You might have seen something worse. Yeah, there's a political battle that's going on, but there's also a spiritual battle that's happening. Has been since the beginning of time. Sometimes I've thought about this already. Sometimes I wish I could see what's happening in the spiritual realm right around us. I don't know what all is going on. But there's a battle that's happening. And in this battle, I'll find only one solution. One answer. And that is truth. And when I'm talking about truth, I'm talking about knowing the truth of God's word and serving the one who is truth. There is no other answer. There are those that would like to take truth and say truth is not absolute. But when it comes to spiritual truth, to scripture, truth is absolute. It does not change. Aren't we glad for that? Our God, our Father, our Savior doesn't one day say one thing and the next day He says something else. We begin to serve Him and then He says, now today I want you to forget about what I told you yesterday. But truth is truth. Ephesians 6 verse 10. I just want to read a couple of verses here out of Ephesians just for us to understand a little bit about truth. Where does truth fit into our battles? Verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're going to stop there. But did you notice the first thing that He's asking us to put on is having your loins girt about with truth? Because the fact of the matter is, if we don't have truth, we have nothing to base our belief on. We have nothing to go on. So truth is the first one that He mentions here. Let's go back a couple of pages to Ephesians 4, verse 19. Here He's talking about the Gentiles, how they've walked. And He tells them in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, lustful pleasures, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But then He tells them, this is not how you've understood it. This is not what you've learned. If so be that you heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. And He says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt to the deceitful lusts. Corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here He's talking about something that's going to happen within you. There's a new man that comes in. There's a new man put on. The old is put away, the new is put on. Truth, the transformation that needs to happen in each one of our hearts, in each one of our lives. John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue, the word continue here has the idea of abiding or being in, to being present. In our words, we'd say it's just to remain faithful to His teachings. The teachings of the Word. So you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. That made me think. He says, if you continue in my Word, and that's a picture of walking with Christ, then are you my disciples. You're my followers. So if I'm not continuing in His Word, and I'm not following, am I His disciple? I think it's good for us to ask ourselves that question this morning. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Know is to perceive or to understand what this truth is in the Word of God. That gives me a picture of I have no time to dilly-dally around. But it is so important that we understand the Word of Christ. He's given us this Word. So many times, I know this is a book. I realize this is a book. But in this book, he gives us the key to life. He tells us how we can attain that. Not something that we do, something he gives us. But then he tells us there's ways I want you to walk. That's what this book tells us about. And everything that's in this book lines up with what he says. It lines up with what the Holy Spirit tells us. You're not going to hear one thing from the Holy Spirit that is different from Scripture. So many times today you hear a lot of prophetic things that are taught. And I'm not against prophetic things. But you hear a lot of prophetic things that are taught that do not line up with Scripture. And the amazing thing is many people are eating it up. They're grabbing it. They're running with it. We need to be very careful that it lines up with the Word of God. John 14:6, Jesus speaking to Thomas here. Jesus had just told them, he said, I'm leaving. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. And Thomas couldn't get this. I don't understand, he said. Then Jesus told Thomas, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus here talking about his deity. But he's also talking about that he's the author. He's the source. He's the ultimate standard and the final judge of truth. So many times a day we look at different places for truth instead of going to the Word of God. That's where truth is found, is in the Word. I have the opportunity to respond to truth. You have the opportunity to respond to truth. And that response that we have to truth is going to either be a blessing or it's going to be a consequence. I have the opportunity to reject truth. God has given us that opportunity. We can reject truth. But if I reject truth, then I'm looking at an eternal separation from a holy God. And I think everyone here this morning, if we were to get real and we would answer this truthfully, none of us wants to be separated from a holy God. None of us. If I accept the truth offered by God, I have a promise of an eternity in His presence. An eternity forever. Never to stop. I was talking to my family just yesterday about God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit before we read in Genesis. My mind can't grasp that. I have a finite mind. But before that, they always were. I can't get that. But He's promised that there's an eternity where they always will be and we will too. I can get a little bit of that. Enough that I know that He's the one that I want to serve in my time here and worship throughout all of eternity. That's what we want to do. That's our desires. So it's important for us to ponder, because our eternity hinges on whether we reject or accept. Our eternity hinges on that. So many times we try to come up with definitions of truth, and they're all going to fail if they don't reference to a holy God. John MacArthur says this. He says, His truth is incarnate, the perfect expression of God, and therefore the absolute embodiment of all that is true. In this story, they talk a little bit about being an imitator. The Hopenots were imitators. Satan is an imitator. He likes to take something that is wrong, is evil, and tries to make it look good. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And I believe in that scripture he's also talking about those that share the word with others. Sometimes Satan takes it and he uses part of what they have to say. He twists it. So we have to be cautious. But Satan's not going to expose the sin and darkness that he wants to exemplify. He hides that. But he's good at imitating. And unless we know the truth, we may just fall for the imitation. It's so important that we know the truth. In this story, Cassadon said, as we traveled together, the prince played the flute. I learned your song so well that though 1,000 false flutes tried to hide your music, I could still hear you. Have I learned to hear his voice? I spent some time in John 10, and I'm just going to mention one verse out of John 10 this morning. But talking about the good shepherd, the sheep. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. In the time this was written, the shepherds would take their sheep. In the evening, they would bring them up to a fold. And there was somebody that was in that doorway, and they would protect those sheep for the night. Then the next morning, they come out and to take them to green pastures, and they would call their sheep. And the sheep didn't all come running. But the one who was their shepherd, they knew his voice. So when he called, those sheep would come out, and he would walk away, and they would follow him. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So I ask this question this morning. What is my relationship with Jesus? Or do I have a relationship? Maybe that's a question we need to ask. Do I have a relationship? As I was going through studying about this week, I came to the place where I was realizing something was missing. Or should I say something wasn't as it should be. And I began to seek God to see what was going on. And I realized in all this chaos, I've slowly been losing out, just bit by bit. Nothing quick. But my interest wasn't what it was maybe 3-4 months ago. So this message this morning is for me. And it's also for you. But many times we come to the place where we want God to be our crutch. We desire to have God, but it's only when things go wrong. Because if I'm going to have Him full time, that means I'm going to have to give time to study, to pray, to seek His face, to get to know Him. And I just don't want to spend that time. I hope that's not our story this morning. Is He someone I talk to when I need help? Or maybe when I need stuff? We all like stuff, don't we? Sometimes I wonder if our stuff isn't more of a hindrance than it is good. Maybe we should all just have a big old garage sale. Get rid of some stuff. So here's my challenge this morning. Spend time with the author of truth. Spend time with him. Get to know him. Get to know his song. So when the hope knots come after you and their flutes start playing, you know the real. You know who he is. Make spending time with him the first thing every morning. You might think I'm just a little bit simple this morning in saying this, and I'm good with that. But when you swing your legs out of bed in the morning, you can tell God good morning and begin your conversation with him for the day. Maybe we're so busy we forget about that. But unless we know truth and the author of truth, we're going to miss it. None of us wants to miss it. We want our eternity to be with him. Give him first place. He has to be your first love. No other way around it. He has to be your first love. John 14, 26 and 27. I'd like to leave this verse with you. Actually, I missed something here. I'm sorry. We need to get into God's word so his word can get into us. How many times have I come to a struggle that I faced and a scripture comes to me that I memorized? I wish it was oftener that I have something that I memorized that will come to me. But it takes dedication to memorize. But how many times do you and I come into a place where we find we have a struggle and the Holy Spirit puts a scripture within us And Satan is defeated because of his word, because of truth. Enter his courts with praise. Honor him every day with thanksgiving. And bless him that you are his child in the midst of chaos. It doesn't have to be a downtime. I don't know what God's doing. None of us here know what he's doing right now. But we know he's not making mistakes. We know he's doing for us as believers what is best for us. John 14:26-27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Talking to the disciples here. And then he told them this. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Would you stand this morning as we pray? Lord, this morning we're so thankful for truth. We're so thankful, Lord, that we don't have to get buried in this chaos. That we don't have to get lost in the mess that everything seems to be in. But Father, we can turn to you. You can give us that peace. We just want to bless you this morning. You have made a way for us to spend our eternity with you. I pray, Lord, for each person here this morning. I pray that our hearts would be turned to you this week. I pray that we would take time this week to seek you, to really get to know you, because eternity depends on it. We just want to worship you this morning. You are a holy God, and you love us so deeply. Thank you again for each one here. Would you bless us as we go? Help us to be mindful of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.